funny thing about social media, and it can be frustrating for some people, but I find it exhilarating, is I think as soon as someone learns a truth about social media, it changes. Because everyone starts doing one thing, and then that becomes noise.
Yep.
And then it's the people that try something different that are able to make the breakthrough into an audience, right? So I mean, and even seeing how Generation Z, my sister-in-law is 18. I hang out with her a bunch, just ask her questions, try to keep up with the current language. And she tells me how she uses social media, or how she uses TikTok, or how she uses all these different platforms. And I see, like, you know, that whole model of, like, you have to post every day. You have to post every day. She posts once every 3 weeks, maybe, and gets a bajillion likes.
Yes.
Actually good content that people want to see from her. Yes.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm so excited about today's episode. We are going to be hearing from a guy that I have been following, learning from a distance, even though we're actually living very close to each other for a season. Jonathan Malm is joining us. And so you've probably heard of Jonathan from Sunday Social, from his books that he's written, from speaking. He does a lot of different things. And so I'm eager to hear his story, for you to hear his story while I hear his story. So Jonathan and I are connecting for the first time here today. So Jonathan, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So there are so many things that I want to hear about in the backstory. But maybe before we get to the backstory, what do you do today? What is it that you do? Who are you?
Yeah, I mean, I've fully embraced my 8 on the Enneagram, or ENTP on Myers-Briggs, where I just love doing a lot of different things. So I'm constantly starting new things, seeing if they work, seeing if they don't. But I love helping churches primarily. So my books tend to be about, like, the welcome experience, working with volunteers. Sunday Social is obviously about social media for churches. Church Stage Design Ideas is about Church Stage Design Ideas, that website. But yeah, just a lot of different things. Volunteer with my church, love helping out in the guest services area. But yeah, random stuff. The more busy I am, and the more stuff I have going on, the better I can focus for some reason.
Totally. And let's get on the personal side. Where you're in San Antonio? Do you have family? What's the personal side of?
Yeah. So we moved to San Antonio about 6 years, my wife and I. And her sister was living here. My parents were living in Kerrville, which is like an hour away. And then all of our family came in, except for her brother, who lives in LA. But, like, literally all of our family came in. So it's kind of cool. We have most everyone within 5 minutes drive of us. So Christmas is, on one hand, that makes Christmas more difficult, because you're having to, like, do we go to both? Because we totally can. Or are we sticking to the, like, no, we're doing one family for Christmas, one family for Thanksgiving. So the benefit also is a challenge, but it's fun. It's fun being so close to my nieces and my nephew, and it's a blast.
Yeah. And so I lived in San Antonio for a decade. It was a community Bible church. And so I love San Antonio. And I believe you go to Grace Avenue Church.
I go to Pearl Street Church. I was previously involved with Grace Avenue. And recently, I don't know, it's also spiritual. I hate saying this, but I feel like God was telling us to go to this other church. So, awesome. So friends with the Grace Avenue Church, love all the people there. Yeah. But yeah, really plugged in at Pearl Street Church too.
Do you live down in that area?
No, we live, like, northwest. We don't live by either of those churches.
Okay.
We live, like, 25 minutes from both churches.
Yeah.
But we never pick something close to us. I don't know why that is.
Yeah. We always wanted to live down the Pearl. We lived out right by Grace Avenue.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about basically how you got to where you are. Where did this journey begin? Let's talk about what's your background that led into serving churches in such a unique way?
Yeah. So, I mean, I was born into church, like, not at the church, but I was born into a church where my dad was on staff. He planted a church at age 2. So he was a pastor of, like, a church, 100 people, maybe 100 on a good day, tons of debt because they were trying to start this missionary training thing in this tiny, tiny town outside of Kerrville. So, like, Kerrville's small. And then like, we were in, like, Podunk, whatever. And so then, fortunately, God rescued us and took us to the mission field in Guatemala. So age 6 to 12, we were missionaries, got a chance to see the churches in villages that have, you know, a guy with one string on his guitar and the speakers that are blaring and doing just songs for an hour, the same song with no word variations.
Yeah.
So So got to experience that. Moved back to the U.S. Where my dad founded a missions agency. That's still going in Kerrville, Texas. They have like, I think 500 missionaries around the world. It's like,
wow.
Thing. And then in the middle of that, he started a church that I was born into, asked him to pastor. He'd gone through a massive church split, lawsuits pending, $1 million in debt, all the nastiness. We went in there. That's where I went to college. And in college, I started working as the church was becoming up more healthy. I started working in like media and website and a bunch of different stuff. When I graduated college, they brought me on full time and just did, you know, worship leading, sound, everything, right? Everything. Yeah. Creative. Started getting into social media, even though it was kind of starting. No one really knew what to do on it yet. But so then I started this website, Church Stages and Ideas, because we were updating our church. It was a church built in the 70s. We were a very modern church. So trying to figure out how we can make the look of the church match what was happening in the church.
Yep.
And then that just grew. I was very intentional with growing it, but that grew and gave me the opportunity to work with, you know, different companies. Briefly got to direct a conference called Echo Conference when my wife and I moved up to Dallas so she could go to school.
Yep.
But just all sorts of, you know, from there, just, I just love the church. I've always loved the church, love helping the church. I love seeing the different contexts from a church in Guatemala with a guy with one guitar, one string on his guitar. And then the churches, the mega churches. I mean, I love the gamut because I feel like God's using all of it.
Yes. I love it. I think, and in this space of serving the church from a business standpoint, there's times where I feel like, and I've been on the, I'm primarily as a pastor, feeling like, man, there's people trying to take advantage of the church. And then there's people that are genuinely trying to serve the church. And I think there's more people genuinely trying to serve.
Oh,
the
church.
I don't think there's that
much. I think so.
Business opportunity really in the church, but there is a unique opportunity. And I love, and the people that I've known that have known you have told me like, man, Jonathan's a guy that like is all about the church. And so cool. I appreciate your heart for that and understanding how you're able to have basically a scalable ministry by helping so many churches. And I love what Church Stage Designs is a site I've followed for many years. And, you know, I remember being a youth pastor and like struggling with like, how do I do this on $100 budget? You know, like how do I have a cool budget? Cause I look at church like Willow Creek and I can't do that, but I want it to look cool like them. And so what you did with that side and what you continue to do with that side is really incredible. I want to talk about Sunday Social though, because I think it's one of the most unique things that anybody has ever done to serve the church in the social media space. And so I would love to hear, how did you get the idea for Sunday Social? What was the birth and development of that platform or business?
Yeah. So my buddy, Joe Cavazos, who's my business partner on it, we both worked with Igniter Media when I was directing Echo Conference. He worked with Graceway Media, Igniter Media. They were separate at that point. We were friends at that point. So we talked all the time. We met up for lunch all the time. And he was telling me, he's like, man, I really want them to do social media. I feel like there's something to do with social media. And they were like, no, it's not. And I get it. At that time, like it was still, it was, Joe's very much.
What year was, how long ago was this?
Oh man, that was like maybe 6 years ago. So it was, it was a bit ago.
Yeah.
Whenever we had that idea. And so then independent circumstances, we both left, Igniter, still friends with all those people.
Yeah.
Nothing weird. Anytime you leave something, I feel like people are like, suspicious. Yes. No, we love Rob.
I get that with CBC a lot of like, what happened?
What happened? Yeah.
Let me show you the text messages of Ed Newton. He's a friend, you know?
Sometimes it's okay to leave and go to a new place. It happens.
Yes.
And we were talking and he was feeling this burden to, he would constantly have these churches that wanted to hire him to do graphic design. He's like, man, I can't lower my price point because I only have so many hours in my day. I want to do something great and I can't help these churches that can't afford me, but I wish I could. And so that kind of got my wheel spinning. As much as possible, I look to work with friends. I love, and he's a good friend, so I trust him. And so I was thinking about a social media idea. I was thinking about how, you know, what could we do to like scale him in a sense?
Yeah.
And so had this idea of designing 30 graphics a month and making that a subscription-based thing. And he's like, I don't know, man, that's like, if we have 150 people, that's like $5 a graphic or like, I mean, I don't know. I did the math all wrong.
Yeah.
And it was just like, that doesn't work. And I'm like, trust me, it'll work. I think we can long-term get the benefit from it. We can get enough people on board.
Yeah.
So he risked it with me and we started growing. And then he had way more of a vision. I think I had like, oh, maybe we can get like 100, 500 people doing it. Yeah. Like I, all of my things I have the lowest vision for, and then Joe or someone else has a better vision for them. So, yeah, so now we're at, I think like 2,200 at current count.
Wow.
And just realized, man, there's so many churches still that this can help. So
I love, so it's almost like a co-op for social media for churches, of they get kind of high level what would cost a lot of money at a fraction of the cost.
That's a great perspective on it. I might use that
to be able to because that's an incredible service to a church. But from a business standpoint, there's a giant risk of if you only have 20 churches doing it, you're losing so much money.
And just poor Joe is going to be working for nothing.
But I
me
think
too, but him,
the more churches that get on board, the more you can invest in those resources and then help the higher quality resources that churches have the best.
And that's what we've done is we're now doing 90, more than that, like 114 graphics a month and hiring other designers and doing new product types. And it's just fun. You know, the more, I mean, it's always the case, the more money that comes in, the more we can put toward it. And it's no longer a side hustle for us. It's actually something that's fun and a business for us. So, which is cool.
So I'm curious, as you've seen social media change, well, I'm curious, so 6 years, you've kind of been on this path. Mm-hmm. What have you seen from a change, just how has social media changed in the last 6 years? And then how have you guys had to adapt to some of those changes as it's a moving target in many ways?
You know, the funny thing about social media, and it can be frustrating for some people, but I find it exhilarating, is I think as soon as someone learns a truth about social media, it changes. Because everyone starts doing one thing and then that becomes noise.
Yep.
And then it's the people that try something different that are able to make the breakthrough into an audience. Right. So, I mean, and even seeing how Generation Z, I have my sister-in-law is 18. I hang out with her a bunch, just ask her questions, try to keep up with the current language. And she tells me how she uses social media or how she uses TikTok or how she uses all these different platforms. And I see like, you know, that whole model of like, you have to post every day. She posts once every 3 weeks, maybe, and gets a bajillion likes.
Yes.
Actually good content that people want to see from her.
Yes.
So just seeing the things that like, and even like video, people like video is king. And then I even bought into that idea. I'm like, oh, video must be king. We're not going to deal with Sunday social, but video is king. And lately I'm seeing, man, video is actually underperforming. There are exceptions, obviously. If you create great quality content, there's exceptions, but video is not performing as well as still on Instagram.
Interesting.
So it's interesting that the things that people are so adamant about a month later, they change. And if you're not willing to hold that idea lightly, you're going to become obsolete basically.
Yeah. Interesting. I love that. And I love that too. You're monitoring those trends and helping serve the church together because I think about a general church that maybe has two staff people. They don't have time to study the nuances of, is this video or graphics? And we don't have a graphic designer. We don't have video edit. You know, it's literally them and Canva.
Yeah.
And then for them to have those assets and you to do that essentially that research for them and as well as the content development. Fantastic. What as you look forward with social media, and as you look to continue to serve those 2,200 churches, and I would assume 5,000 in the next couple of years, where do you see things going? What do you see on the horizon?
Yeah, I mean I've never been able to see more than 3 months in advance.
Okay.
I think that's a healthy thing. Like, I don't know, in 3 months, Sunday Social might not exist because like the thing that made it a thing might not be the case anymore, right? So I'm never that far ahead. One trend that I see developing, and it's been developing for a while, but I've really caught on recently, especially as I've been using TikTok.
Yeah.
And if you're on TikTok, don't judge me for being on TikTok.
I love it.
If you've heard all the bad stuff, don't judge me for it. There's a lot of entertaining. What's so fun about TikTok is seeing Generation Z creating amazing content that's so entertaining.
Yes.
And others, you know, others are jumping on board too, but I love Generation Z. And it's really fascinating to see. It's kind of tragic, but fascinating to see the their life, the things they work with. Like, they make videos that mock and joke about school shootings, which is crazy to me, but like that's the reality of like I might get shot today, and so there's this humor about it because it's the reality.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to me. I'm like, when I see it, I'm like, like my millennial self, I can't handle it. But I realize, man, that's the reality. That's what they're dealing with. So it's interesting seeing that. But then I'm also realizing that more than anything now, people want to be in full control of their viewing experience. So what that means is I won't watch a 15 second video unless I think it's going to pay off. Like me waiting 15 seconds, I skip TikTok videos that are 15 seconds because I don't think they're going to be entertaining enough. So realizing as I'm watching stories, even from my own church, which I'm hoping to see myself in my church stories, but they post videos and I'm like, man, this is a 15 second story and it's a video. I'm not in control. And it frustrates me. It frustrates me that I'm not in control of seeing what's coming. You know, the great thing about carousel posts is I can go at my own speed. Yep. I can tap at my own speed. With videos, I can't. I'm at your mercy and you better be good. Otherwise I'm frustrated. Right. Yep. And so it's interesting. I really see that. And I don't know how this is going to work, but I really see that, you know, maybe the future thing will be stories that you can fast forward or something like that. But really we want to be in control of the speed of our content. We want to consume it at our pace. That's why a lot of Generation Z don't like TV, because I don't want to wait a full hour to get the story or a full 30 minutes. Yep. I want to be in control of the content. So I don't know what that's going to look like. Yes. But that's what I see the trend happening, is that there's going to be, almost like a choose your own adventure, but like a choose your own speed of story type thing. And I don't know what that looks like. That doesn't help much. But
fascinating. It's fascinating to think about, though. I would love to know with TikTok. Let's talk about TikTok for a minute, because it's a platform I'm intrigued by. Did you get on it for research purposes, or were you literally or genuinely, and do you find yourself now so entertained that you're just getting on for entertainment value? What led you into TikTok?
I was skeptical because Brady Shearer was promoting it like crazy.
Yep.
And I love Brady, but anytime someone promotes something like crazy, like a new social media, I'm like, nah, that's garbage. You know, like anytime someone's like that adamant, and he was so adamant about it. So I'm like, nah, Brady, nah, you don't know what you're talking about. And then these meme accounts that I follow on Instagram, they keep posting these TikTok videos. And I'm like, oh, okay, apparently, you know, like it used to be like all the Twitter was where all the comedy was happening.
Yeah.
Now I'm realizing TikTok is where the comedy is happening. So I was like, man, if that's all the good content being created, I should just get on there, just check it, because I love memes. So I go on there and I find myself laughing like every 15 seconds almost. Like, this is really funny stuff. So I'm still not necessarily bought into, and I've had I've butted heads with some big names in the church social media things. I'm still not bought into the idea of churches being on TikTok. I think some churches will kill it and do awesome at it.
Yes.
I think the majority of churches probably shouldn't do it because they're barely killing. They're not even doing Instagram well. So why are you going to try TikTok when TikTok's even more entertaining than Instagram?
Yes.
So, but there is this element. I'm like, man, I always love watching the next generation. I hope I'm never going to be one of those people that like, that next generation, they don't know what they're talking about. I just think that's so short-sighted. It's missing the beauty that each generation brings to the world. I believe God has uniquely gifted a generation with a voice that no other generation has had, and opportunities that no other generation has. So I love seeing that.
Yes.
So I just, you know, for that reason too, I love seeing it. Like, I love just getting the glimpse. I've tried making my own videos and, you know, done okay, but I'm like, you know, I do other things well. I should probably stick to those and just enjoy the next generation making their great content. That isn't to say people my age shouldn't make, there's some people my age that are making great content. I'm not saying that at all.
Have you seen Dave Adamson's stuff?
Yes.
Incredible stuff.
Yeah. So there's some really good quality stuff. I mean, I think there is an opportunity for churches, but right now I don't know what that is. And I think nobody fully knows what that is. But what I do love is there are people trying, and the people that really see the vision for it, they're trying. And that's a good thing.
So if you were to prioritize social networks today for a church, what would be your ranking system for a small church who's just getting into social media, where to invest their energy?
Facebook groups.
Yep.
And then maybe Instagram. And then maybe Facebook, but I would use Facebook primarily. And this is something we're shifting Sunday Social for our own platform. I would shift it to being more like a web page where you get people to comment. You share what people are saying about your church, because that's where people are actually checking out your church. They're curious about it.
Yeah.
That's almost like your website now, right?
So how do they do that? Is that like a screenshot? Is that like literally go to personal comments and just share it to your page? How does that work?
I mean, the way we're going to start doing this, and we actually got this idea from Church Motion Graphics, who's kind of a competitor of ours, but Jeff's doing a great job with his Facebook, is he's sharing testimonials, you know, screenshots of testimonials or sharing content that he's creating. And the engagement is super low, and that's okay. I think your engagement on Facebook pages, and there's exceptions, obviously. People are killing it on Facebook pages. Yes. There are people doing it. But you're probably not going to get as much engagement as Instagram yes. and Facebook groups. Yep. But if you're okay with that and realize what I'm working toward is more just to let people know about the church for people who are curious and almost be a static webpage that people can visit and just kind of see the life.
Yes.
And it's great. You're not going to be frustrated. And I think that's always the case is you have to really go into any social media platform and say, what are my goals here? Facebook groups, your goals are probably going to be to just engagement, conversation, those interactive posts that everyone wants to do, like, you know, what's your favorite type of pie? I really see Facebook groups as a great opportunity for that. Yeah. Not as Instagram does work in that to a degree, but you also run the risk of creating your account, turning your account into a meme account, right?
Yes.
Which I don't know why your church account should be a meme account. So I do believe there's purpose for that, and I'd say primarily Facebook. Instagram, beautiful, because that platform is very beauty-based, so beautiful imagery, something, if they can see pictures of their friends or of themselves, that's great. Encouragement, that's great for Instagram. Facebook, Facebook group engagement, Facebook pages, just that kind of stuff. And then Twitter, you know, I mean, there's some communities Twitter will be great for, probably most communities not. TikTok, man, I'd put that way low at the bottom, even below Snapchat maybe, but I wouldn't recommend Snapchat unless you're used to it.
Yes.
Anyways, I don't know if that gives you a proper ranking.
Yeah.
Those three though, Facebook groups, Instagram, and then Facebook.
Great advice. That's probably what I would recommend. Yeah. And Twitter, not even on that list.
Yeah. I mean, in some communities, you know, some communities will work. Like, you know, there's a cult following on Twitter. And so if you have those types of people in your church, man, they're going to engage on it great. But many churches probably not.
Yes. And this is so far outside of it, but we're going into a political season with social media and Twitter in particular, a lot of politics engaged on there. Any thoughts from you of how a church should or shouldn't engage in, or even church leaders, you know, personally engaged with politics and social media as we go into this presidential, you know, cycle?
Yeah. One of my favorite things I see churches doing, and this is, I think, something my dad does masterfully, is he always elevates the conversation from this to this. So everyone's going to be fighting Democrat, Republican, pro-life, pro-choice. They're going to be debating this stuff right here, right? And then if we have the opportunity to bring eternity into the conversation, we're not addressing specific people, specific issues. We're saying, this is what God wants for us.
Yes.
That's just refreshing and enlightening. And, you know, there are some people who believe churches should be really involved in politics. I'm not as much on that, in that I think we should be involved in the conversations that are of eternal value and let that dictate what people believe about the lower stuff. So instead of being, you know, black and white, A, B, yin, yang, whatever, all that, like that binary thinking, I really believe we have, and I wrote a book about this called The Hidden Option. I believe we have the opportunity to speak the hidden option, the hidden truth into the conversation, God's eternal truth in the conversation. And it'll just be, I think it'll be refreshing for people.
Yes. Well, that's so good. That's so good. And I just want to say, go get that book. You know, that's probably a good read going into this season, because I think in having I work with a lot of pastors and their social media, and I have, you know, I remember Robert Emmett at Community Bible Church got into some trouble 8 years ago and during the election, and it got messy quickly by just a few statements or a few comments on a Facebook post. And it's even that Robert had, you know, obviously the largest church in San Antonio, but, I think any pastor, you know, it can be sticky. And I think too, you can have a unique perspective, because being quiet isn't the answer either. I think speaking eternity, I love that, that word. So I encourage people to get that book. I also encourage people to go to sundaysocial.tv, and check out the options. See how, if you're not using Sunday Social, it is so affordable. And even if you use just like one, you know, post a month out of it, you're getting your money's worth. It is, so valuable. And I've gotten a chance to look at a lot of the content, and it's so good. It's so creative. So I want to encourage people to check that out. I'm also launching a new project, right now. Jonathan and I are partnering in that, or Jonathan's been gracious enough to partner with me, in my new project. I'm not going to give away exactly how we're partnering, but I want to encourage you to go to neilsmith.com/grow. And I'm launching a program called Growing Your Church with Social Media. And so go sign up for that. And then you'll find out, as you get into that training, how Jonathan and I are partnering. And so
Did you just clickbait people?
I tried to clickbait. So I hope neilsmith.com/grow clickbait, go get it. But I'm not going to tell you what it is. So a little teaser.
You just BuzzFeeded them.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Jonathan, though, I'm curious about you. You released a new book recently called The Comeback Effect.
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit about what that is and what it's about?
Yeah. So me and my buddy, Jason Young, he was previously the guest services director at Buckhead Church, one of Andy Stanley's five churches or whatever, and all of North Point, I think, ministries campuses. But we partnered together to write this book, a while ago. And it's just really about how to create like excellence at your church, excellence in guest services, how to use hot, really the idea is like, we think of serving, like we got to serve people. And serving people is very task oriented.
Yes.
You can do all the right things and still not make people feel welcomed. So we approach the idea of hospitality, where the idea of the feeling behind everything you do. What can you do for people's feelings?
Yes.
And the church is kind of afraid of emotions and feelings, but we do it in a healthy way. We talk about it in a healthy and very theologically correct way of replacing negative emotions with positive emotions and some practical ideas on how to do that for churches.
Yeah. So I've been fascinated about this concept and even how does digital ministry and physical ministry integrate? Mm-hmm. I'm curious from what you see of both social media, website engagement, email communication, how does that digital communication with the kind of physical attendance and engagement tie together from your perspective?
Yeah, we'll get into some kind of nitty gritty social stuff here if you want. Is I saw this post from Life Church Switch, which is their like middle school, high school ministry. And this post, it was so simple. They said, you know, our teams are learning about social media. And they said every one of their posts should have something that either reinforces belonging, offers solutions, or shows their identity, right? So those are the three things that they try to make every post, make sure that you're addressing those, one of those three things in a post. And I'm like, man, that's phenomenal because that's what everyone's struggling with. And what I love about the way they approach that is they thought, what are people feeling as they're scrolling through social media? What are people feeling when they go into the church? What are people feeling if they're attending an online service? What are those emotions? What are they wrestling with? And then how can we speak to that? Yeah. It's simple marketing. That's marketing 101, right? But like, we so often forget that. We think like, oh, we had a snowman at the church this week, which that's fine. I'm not saying don't post about the snowman or whatever, but like the idea of like, you know, people, they're looking for entertainment. So the reason you're posting that snowman is people like, oh, I want to smile. I want something to like brighten my day to day, right? That did it. So just thinking through the idea of like, what are the emotions? What are the things people are dealing with? So even the idea of, you know, someone committed suicide, a famous person committed suicide. Like people are just wrestling with like, wow, I've actually had thoughts of that. Like it's shocking. I've had so many conversations after one recent church leader committed suicide and some friends of mine are like, man, you know, I've had those thoughts before. Like I've had those kind of like obsessions before. And like just getting to talk through that and realizing, man, that's a common thing. Like maybe I don't, because I don't struggle with anxiety. I don't struggle with depression. My wife is on the other spectrum though. She struggles with that. So getting to be able to be part of that conversation, and I'll even ask her, hey, what can I say to help this conversation? Like what could Sunday Social say to help this conversation? Right. Just something encouraging. So that's what I would love more churches to do, is really think through the thing people are going through. And then how can you speak to that?
Love that. I love that. And I think perspective wise, you don't have to wait till they're sitting in the pew on Sunday to speak into those cultural things and those cultural issues. Is that engagement can happen before and after on these digital platforms. It's a both and integration. So I love you speaking into that. Jonathan, as we wrap up this podcast, how can people best connect with you and engage with you online?
Yeah, hit me up at jonathanmalm.com, Jonathan Malm on Instagram, literally all the Jonathan Malms. I think Gmail, I don't have Jonathan Malm, I have Jonathan P. Malm. But I just gave you my email. Email me, that's fine. So just find me there. And I love new friends, love connecting with people I've never met before. And just tell me what you're up to. I'd love to hear it.
That's great. I love that you're personally engaged, and that's how we connected on social media. And so I love and go connect with Jonathan there on various social platforms and check out his website and all the incredible things he's doing. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast. Go to socialmedia.church for the show notes and everything else connected to this podcast and to listen to other episodes. And make sure you leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever it is you're listening. Thanks for listening to the podcast.